This is special coverage of the presidential inauguration from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Earlier today, just after he took the oath of office, President Barack Obama told hundreds of thousands gathered on the National Mall and many millions listening around the world that the stale political arguments that have consumed us for so long no longer apply.
We remain a young nation, but in the words of Scripture, the time has come to set aside childish things. The time has come to reaffirm our enduring spirit, to choose our better history, to carry forward that precious gift, that noble idea passed on from generation to generation, the God-given promise that all are equal, all are free, and all deserve a chance to pursue their full measure of happiness.
The president was sworn in a few minutes after 12 noon Eastern time, a little bit behind schedule, and that schedule has continued to slip throughout the afternoon. The motorcade from Capitol Hill down Pennsylvania Avenue should be getting underway shortly. We'll bring you coverage as that parade proceeds, and we'll talk in a moment with Michelle Martin, the host of NPR's Tell Me More, and we want to hear from you as well. Whether you listened in your car, your office, on headphones, or on a jumbotron, can we cash the check that President Obama wrote this afternoon in Washington? Did he speak to your expectations? Our phone number is 800-989-8255. The email address is talk@npr.org. Michelle Martin with us here in the studio. And Michelle, both of us over the years have seen Washington, D.C. transformed by various events. I remember hundreds of thousands of Vietnam War protesters in the streets, an atmosphere that couldn't be more different than the atmosphere today. I remember the throngs that attended Bill Clinton's inaugural. I remember watching the parade for George W. Bush down Pennsylvania Avenue. This, a day like no other.
That is so true, and I think we're all, as journalists, trained to guard against cliche and hyperbole alike, but it really is hard to come up with the words that really capture this moment. I remember the Million Man March, for example, where hundreds of thousands of people gathered on the Mall. I remember the Promise Keepers, where hundreds of thousands of men gathered on the Mall. This truly is a day that I've never seen before. People from all over the country, in fact, all over the world are here. There's a celebratory spirit. There's an entrepreneurial spirit. There's a sense of seriousness, of purpose. It's in some ways the largest church service I've ever seen because there's a spirit of both challenge and comfort at the same time. It's been really a remarkable day.
There is also a sense, and I'm exaggerating here, but Washington, D.C. is a city that I believe voted, I think, something 93% for Barack Obama in the past election. It is the most reliable Democratic city constituency in the nation. Those three electoral votes are going to the Democratic nominee, whoever it is. There is always a sense in a Republican administration that, there are strangers in town. This city is welcoming Barack Obama's installation as president of the United States like I've never seen a Democrat welcome before.
Well, I think that's true, but I also have to say that this is also, Washington isn't just one city. It's kind of many cities, and there's a permanent Washington. There are the people who make the trains run, the people who make the buses go, the people who escort the prisoners, the marshals, all these people. They stay no matter who is here. But you're right, there's a difference between a sense of duty and a sense of real joy. And one of the things that's been remarkable to me is how you just catch someone's eye and they want to smile at you. They want to hug you. I wonder if I'll ever see anything like it.
We'll have to see. Yeah. We'll have to see. We should live so long, both of us.
Yes. I hope so.
Stay with us, Michelle. Let's go now to Andrea Seabrook, who's along the parade route in Freedom Plaza. And Andrea, it's getting on in the afternoon. People are still cold and still awaiting the arrival of the motorcade.
But people don't seem to begrudge the little time problem here. People are standing along the route, more and more people dancing all the time, bobbing up and down. You see these great sort of back and forth that people across the street from each other and across the security lines sort of waving and egging each other on and dancing. It's beautiful, actually. It looks like the parade route looks like something that I have seen only in pictures. Something like JFK's parade. I mean, it is just packed. People are happy. There are American flags waving up and down the street. It's a gorgeous day. Cold, yes, but the sun is shining, And everyone is just happy to be here. It's really got a great feeling down here.
Can you tell us what that music we're hearing behind you is?
Well, I can tell you this, Neil. I don't know what it is, but it's about a 45-minute loop of songs, and we've now heard it 6 or 7 times. So whatever it is, I know all the words now.
Okay, thanks very much, Andrea Seabrook there with at Freedom Plaza. We'll be speaking with you later in the event the parade ever gets there.
Yeah, we hope so.
Earlier we heard the sad news that Senator Ted Kennedy collapsed, this at the luncheon that's held in Statuary Hall after the inauguration. KenPR's political editor Ken Rudin returns with an update. Ken, what do you have for us?
Not much new information, but both Senator Ted Kennedy and Senator Robert Byrd appearing at the same table at the presidential luncheon, both collapsed, both need medical assistance, were taken away by ambulance. Robert Byrd is the longest-serving member of the history of the Senate. For 50 years he's been in the Senate. Ted Kennedy since 1962. Both, of course, have had health problems. But all we know right now, both have been taken away. Both collapsed. Barack Obama may have been the first to notice it. And there was an audible silence in the room after the collapse of Kennedy. And then we don't have any further information about their condition.
Obviously, we'll bring you further updates as information becomes available. But confirmation now that both Senator Robert Byrd, the Dean of the Senate, and Senator Ted Kennedy, who, of course, was diagnosed with a brain tumor, had surgery last year, have been collapsed and been taken away, presumably for medical attention. We'll get you the news as soon as we can. Thanks very much, NPR's Ken Rudin. Let's go now to NPR's Scott Horsley, who is going to be, in a sense, leading the parade. Of course, typically if the president's car leads the parade, but there will be a press pool in advance of that car, and Scott Horsley is going to be part of it. Scott, are you up on that flatbed truck yet?
That's right. We are in the flatbed truck and awaiting the start of the parade. Now, ordinarily, this parade follows the luncheon at the Capitol, and it's possible that we're a little late getting started because of the collapse of Senators Kennedy and Byrd. News of that has started to spread both among the press corps here on Blackberries and perhaps also some of the folks who have lined the route along Pennsylvania Avenue as they wait patiently for the start of the inaugural parade.
And the start, well, we're all waiting and patiently for the start of the parade. It's what I think slipped about, 45 minutes or so far.
That's right. It was originally slated to start about 2 o'clock, and then rather 2:30 and Eastern, and then we were told we'd start about 3 p.m., and of course we're past that mark now, but the motorcycle police are all here and ready, and the flatbed truck is ready. We're just sort of waiting for the commander-in-chief of the parade.
Well, we'll wait with you. Scott Horsley, thanks very much.
Great to be with you.
When he gets down toward the White House, his new resident, the new president, will be at the reviewing stand down there. NPR's John Itzde will be nearby, down by the reviewing stand, and he joins us now. Hello, John.
Hi, Neil.
And what's happening there at the reviewing stand?
Well, the bleachers are filling up here. These are the lucky people. They've got tickets to sit in bleachers, but they're also at the end of the parade route, and so they've been waiting for a long time to see some action. Charlie Brotman, the parade announcer, 81 years old, his 14th inaugural, has been trying to entertain them, and they've been trying to entertain him. He's asked some trivia questions, what's the color of the top stripe on the American flag, does the stoplight have the green light on the bottom or the top? I think you could have done very well.
We'll send Ken Rudin questions down there for more entertainment later in the day.
And they've been serenading him with God Bless America and America the Beautiful.
And at this rate, some of those people are in the VIP seats and can be expected to go on to some of the inaugural balls later this evening. Are they in evening clothes, or are they going to have to go back home and change?
I don't see anyone in evening clothes at this point. It's a basic sort of office dress with dark overcoats in the reviewing stand as people gather there. On the bleachers, it's very colorful, red and white and blue caps and bright orange and green and really a colorful scene here. The sun has come out again. It was out this morning when the then president-elect and President Bush left the White House. It got cloudy. The sun's back out again. But it's gotten windy. The flags are snapping smartly over the White House and the old executive office building, so it's a bit chilly here. People are standing up, stamping their feet, trying to stay warm.
John Itzty, we'll be back with you as well when and if the parade reaches the reviewing stand.
I'm sure it will.
All right. Thanks very much, John. And let's go back to Andrea Martin here in the excuse me.
It's been a long day.
It's been a long day. Michelle Martin with us here in the studio. And Michelle, just thinking back for a moment to the two senators who collapsed at the luncheon today, and we'll bring you an update there as soon as we can. Of course, Ted Kennedy, the brother of John F. Kennedy, the slain president, the uncle of Caroline Kennedy, who hopes to replace Hillary Clinton as the senator from New York, and Robert Byrd, who's been in the Senate so long. He, of course, we remember, served, was one time a member of the Ku Klux Klan, and since then, apologized deeply for what he acknowledged as his terrible mistakes. It just reminds us what a long time has passed since Robert Byrd entered the United States Senate, and what a change we mark today.
It is. On the one hand, you can say it's been a long time. On the other hand, by some measures, it's a very short time. I mean, I had the opportunity to speak earlier today with three of the lions of the civil rights movement, Andy Young, Julian Bond, and the Reverend Jesse Jackson, who, of course, ran for president himself twice and made some important electoral gains in the southern states. And one of the things that I was thinking about Senator Kennedy and Senator Byrd, because when I reached Andy Young, I said, well, where are you? And he said, you know, the cold was too much for me. He was at the swearing in, and he wound up leaving because he said it was just too much for, my old bones. Mm. And yet it is sort of a coming full circle. All of them told me that they wept. They wept. Despite their intentions, despite the fact that there's been a long run up to this, we've had a lot of time to prepare for this moment. They all said that when the moment actually came that they cried. And these are all people who've dedicated their adult lives to the fight for equality. Now, many could argue with the methods that each of them has used in their own time, but it is a measure of the change that these people, all of them told me, they never expected to see this day in their lifetime.
Stay with us, Michelle Martin, and we'll have more coverage of the inauguration and the start of the parade, whenever that may be. Stay with us. We'll also bring you updates as they become available on the condition of Senators Ted Kennedy and Robert Byrd. So stay with us. This is live coverage, special coverage of the presidential inauguration. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News in Washington. This is special coverage of the presidential inauguration from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. George W. Bush, now the former president, left Washington in the last hour on his way to Texas. He and Laura Bush have a house waiting for them in their home state. In his first moments as president, Barack Obama said he's taking the helm of a nation in the midst of crisis. In his inaugural address, he stressed the challenges we face are real and will not be met easily or in a short time span, but he said they will be met. He also spoke directly to those listening who are of the Muslim faith.
To the Muslim world, we seek a new way forward based on mutual interest and mutual respect. To those leaders around the globe who seek to sow conflict or blame their society's ills on the West, know that your people will judge you on what you can build, not what you destroy. To those who cling to power through corruption and deceit and the silencing of dissent, know that you are on the wrong side of history, but that we will extend a hand if you are willing to unclench your fist.
If you weren't able to make it to the mall today, you can still see all the action. Head to npr.org for live video and photo galleries of today's events, including the parade, as well as up-to-the-minute analysis and commentary. We'll also keep you up to date on the condition of Senators Kennedy and Byrd, who collapsed at the inaugural luncheon earlier today. Michelle Martin is with us. She hosts NPR's Tell Me More program. Of course, we want to hear from you as well. What did you think of President Obama's remarks this afternoon? Did he speak to your expectations? 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And let's go to Amir. Amir is with us on the line from Tehran in Iran.
So nice to be on the show, Neil.
Amir, nice to have you with us. How did you listen to the president's speech?
Well, I listened to NPR, as NPR is my major source of news and information in Iran.
And that comes to you by what vehicle?
A satellite on Hubbard.
And what did you think of the president's remarks today?
Well, as an Iranian, I was both dejected and jubilant. Jubilant because if we hold the viewpoint that the president of the U.S. is the leader of the world, now we have a new leader. with fresh perspectives, but dejected because I'm not going to just watch something like this in Iran. So it is quite saddening because I'm sure we are not going to move closer to something like an inauguration in Iran.
Did you hear a difference in tone with President Obama speaking those remarks we just played specifically to the Muslim world?
Yeah, to be specific, I just highlighted the point you played, but the problem is that Muslim leaders should be prepared for such a change. And speaking of Iranian leaders, I'm not sure if our leaders are ready to take the challenge and move on the path towards better relations with the U.S. of A.
It must be quite...
I'm not talking about... Okay.
I was just going to say, it must be quite late in the evening in Iran.
Yeah, it is about 11:45 or near 12 a.m.
Well, Amir, we thank you for staying up to talk with us, and thank you for listening
to us.
It's
always a pleasure.
Appreciate
Take
the
care.
Phone call. Bye-bye. That call from Iran. President Obama has left the luncheon at the Capitol and is now outside reviewing the troops. This is a parade of military bands and people in period uniforms. Let's listen for a little bit as they march along. This is a group of soldiers carrying muskets with bayonets and tricorn hats, Revolutionary War era uniforms. Now the president and the first lady are making their way down the staircase and into the presidential limousine. This is the new vehicle designed by Cadillac, I believe dubbed the Beast by the Secret Service because of its robust protections. And he's just saluted the officer who was commanding the military review. Michelle Obama has entered the limousine, and then President Obama now shaking the hand of another man and entering the limousine himself. So we're just about to get underway with the inaugural parade. This is the last event scheduled on Capitol Hill before the motorcade heads down Pennsylvania Avenue and then on down to the reviewing stand near the White House. In the meantime, let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Kristen. Kristen with us from San Jose in California.
Hi.
Hi, Kristen.
I just wanted to share, I watched it with I'm a white woman, and I watched it with my black wife and our mixed son, who sat in my lap, and the two of us cried like babies, and my seven-year-old looked up at me and said, you know, looked at me like, why are you crying? And I said, well, anyone could be president, baby, you could be president, he's mixed like you. And he just looked at me like, yeah.
As if that was nothing special.
Exactly, and I thought to myself, you know what, good. You know, the next generation, this is no big deal, this is how it is. And I thought that was just great.
Michelle Martin, the next generation, of course, will not think this was, well, they'll read about it in their history books, but nevertheless, this will not have quite the same impact.
No, it will not, and I think this is one of the things about today. It's a day to celebrate. But it is a day that I think will soon become history, and that's one of the things that's going to be remarkable about it. But the caller reminds me of other barriers yet to fall. We have not had a woman. We had a woman in striking distance of this office. We have not, unlike many other Western industrialized countries, and developing countries, had a woman chief executive. And, of course, there's the continuing question of equality for same-gender living individuals and the kinds of place that they will have in our society. So it is a reminder that there are barriers yet to fall.
Yet we'll have a second consecutive female Secretary of State, the third female Secretary of State, and it's almost interesting. Nobody's even remarking on that.
And we will have another United Nations ambassador to the United Nations who is a person of color, who is also a woman. So ground that has been broken before. It's quite interesting. Can I just point one thing out, Neil?
Sure.
That I was watching is you talk about a moment of transition. I saw that as they were entering their cars, they were entering the presidential limousine, Michelle Obama turned to hug the military escort. And now President Obama turned to shake his hand. hand and received, I believe, his first salute as President of the United States, because this military escort, of course, did not shake the hand of the commander-in-chief. He saluted him, and President, now President Obama, returned the salute. And there was a moment of hesitation where you can see his transformation from private citizen to commander-in-chief.
Kristen, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. The motorcade has made its way to the front of the Capitol. This is on the opposite side from where the ceremonies were held earlier today, the swearing-in and the inaugural address. The president's limousine is being escorted by members of the Secret Service who are walking along with it as it makes its way. It's going past the Senate side of the gallery of the House of the Capitol now, then we'll make its a left turn and head down Pennsylvania Avenue. Let's go now to Audie Cornish, NPR's reporter, who's at the Lincoln Memorial about halfway down the mall. And apparently she's not with us at this moment, so we'll get another caller on the line. Let's see if we can go now to, this is Sherry. Sherry with us from Virginia Beach.
Hi, Neil.
Hi, Sherry.
I thought the speech was phenomenal. I thought it did an amazing job of really putting the call out to people to really work hard to save our country. I was watching it with a very conservative friend of mine, and while the speech was going on, he had his back to the television and was kind of tinkering on the computer. And we were watching it with his daughter, who is a Democrat. And after the speech was over, he goes, well, I guess I have to admit he can do good speeches. And then when she left, he said, really, you know, don't tell her this, but I think the guy may actually be able to do something. What he really liked was the statements about, Americans were called to lead by example,
mm-hmm.
and the statement about people who are willing to work for less hours so that another doesn't lose his job, and he took that to mean that Obama was going to be kind of tough on the auto industry and other people like that, that they were going to have to really tighten their belts and do some better things with their money. So he actually admitted that the guy may get something done.
That motorboating sound, by the way, the sound of the engines on the presidential limousine as we await the start of the inaugural parade. And Sherry, I wanted to ask, there was a particular paragraph in the president's inaugural address when he spoke to about the men and women on the front lines in Iraq and Afghanistan and so many other places as emblematic of the spirit that all of us are going to have to adopt in the years to come. I wonder if your friend remarked on that.
He did, and he's a retired Marine fighter pilot, a Vietnam vet, and he did really like that. He commented a lot about the people that Obama has gathered around him, you know, from both sides of the fence. I really thought that he really made a point that this is a new era, and I don't think that, at least I didn't get it as just rhetoric. I really feel like Americans have changed in a way that they want to work together, that they want to see things done, and setting aside ideologies was a critical thing for him to say. I also liked what he said to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've been waiting to hear something like that, and I do think he is going to really try to unify this planet again a little bit.
Well, I wanted to follow up on what you were saying with Michelle Martin, and clearly Barack Obama already a transformational politician. Just look at the electoral map, unlike anything we've seen in recent years. He has an opportunity to become a transformational president.
He certainly does, but the great challenges often lead to great opportunities. I think one of the things that the commentators, in fact, many of the people I spoke to out on the parade route have talked about is whether the expectations are so high, can he possibly meet them? There is some, I think there's some anxiety on that part, particularly among many of his ardent supporters. And they also, what is one of the challenges of a wide-ranging coalition is that there are going to be people within that coalition who have very different views about what is to be done. We've already seen that in discussion about the economic stimulus package. Should there be tax cuts at all? Should there be more government spending? And you're already starting to see where the breadth of the coalition is in some ways a challenge, because you have very different views represented, and they all seem to be reconciled in this character of this one person. Can he really resolve all those those tensions. You see him making a mighty effort, particularly on the partisan front. But as we go forward, there are going to be ideological differences that he's going to have to figure out how to resolve.
Even within his own party, which even is hardly unusual party. For the Democrats. Let's go now to NPR's Linda Wertheimer, still awaiting the inaugural parade at the Canadian Embassy on Pennsylvania Avenue. Linda? I'm sorry, Linda, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry. I was just saying that there are a couple of police cars pulling across here, which makes us think that we're looking at maybe the beginning of the parade.
We're just seeing on televisions here in the studio the presidential limousine edging around the corner from the Senate side, and I think about to make a left turn.
Well, that would we'd love it. We've been waiting here at the Canadian Embassy where the rotunda is above the street, so that it's a very good view if you're near the front. We're standing on our chairs so that we can see, and we have a nice view of Pennsylvania Avenue. And people have been waiting here, somewhat fortified by the generosity of the ambassador from Canada, who has provided everybody with wine and various kinds of the whiskey that Canada produces.
It's famous for it. I sounded like you were fortified with more than beaver tail soup.
Well, some people were fortified with more than beaver tail soup, but at any rate, it's been kind of a long wait, and everybody's in a very festive and jovial mood up here too. Although this is not your sort of regular guys that are up here. These are guests of the embassy, and we're just fortunate to have the same vantage point that they do. We've been entertained.
Good news, Linda. I can tell you that the Secret Service is now stepping off in concert with the presidential limousine, which seems to be just leaving the Capitol grounds now and getting ready to head your way.
Well, we're hoping that our first sight will be the flatbed trucks, and we can see the flags coming. I can see the flags. I believe that must be one of the limousines in the parade. I can't be sure whose it is they're coming around the corner.
They're coming around the corner and heading down Pennsylvania Avenue, the inaugural parade for Barack Obama, sworn in earlier today by Chief Justice Roberts as the 44th President of the United States. And, everybody getting ready for the festivities as they begin. And, there it is. There's one more military color guard that's taking the flags from the slanted position to straight up, and as I think you can hear the crowd reacting, they're getting the glimpse of the president.
Yeah, I can certainly hear that. there are lots of people around us who are beginning to shout. The color guard is on motorcycles at this point, bringing the flag of the District of Columbia, the president's own flag, and the start of the motorcade, which I guess is the head of the parade. Which will be followed by some 90 units of parade marchers. They include bands, high school bands, college bands. There are marching groups of various kinds, military marching groups, as well as marching bands. So at the moment, we're looking at what must be a sizable percentage of D.C.'s motorcycle force coming forward.
An advertisement for Harley-Davidson.
No kidding. It's these huge motorcycles that the police in the District of Columbia and the Secret Service use. And we have a parade announcer near us as well. You may be able to hear some of that in the background.
And the motorcycles are coming down in flying Vs in formation. Linda, we'll get back to you in a couple of minutes, okay?
All right.
All right, let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Beatrice. Beatrice with us from Flagstaff, Arizona.
Good morning, Mr. Condon. How you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Just call me Neil, please.
Oh, thank you so much. My story is that I am an immigrant from Mexico, and today it was a very special day for me because it has reinstated my faith in democracy. I do believe that Mr. Obama is looking for us to become Americans and not affiliated to any political party, which I have been saying that for a long time. I consider myself an American. I don't, you know, I'm not a conservative nor liberal, because both of them have good things and bad things both. But what I admire most in this man is the fact that he defied everything that was bad in his life, and he came out with flying colors, and now he is leading a country into a very nice, fresh direction. And the word that rings in my ears still is responsibility, because I, as an immigrant, I earned the privilege, and it is a huge privilege for me to be speaking with you and to witness this moment in history. But I also know that I have the responsibility to stand with you and to do whatever it takes to bring this country back up again.
Beatrice, thank you so much for the call and for that reminder.
Thank you so much, sir. Have a good day.
The inaugural parade has just begun down Pennsylvania Avenue. We'll bring you highlights as it proceeds. I'm Neil Cohn, along with Michelle Martin in the studio here in Washington, D.C. Stay with us. This is special live coverage of the presidential inauguration from NPR News. This is special coverage of the presidential inauguration from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington, along with NPR's Michelle Martin, the host of Tell Me More. Here are the headlines from some of the other stories we're following here today at NPR News. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon toured Israel and Gaza today after the Israeli military action in the Gaza Strip. He expressed disappointment that he could not bring an end to the fighting sooner and promised to send aid to the Palestinians. He also said Palestinian attacks on Israel were deplorable. Also, Italian carmaker Fiat and U.S. automaker Chrysler say they've agreed to form a strategic alliance that would give Fiat a 35% stake in the troubled U.S. carmaker. The deal would give Chrysler access to new markets. Details on those stories and, of course, much more later today on All Things Considered from NPR News. And we'll bring you an update on the conditions of Senators Robert Byrd of West Virginia and Edward Kennedy of Massachusetts, who collapsed earlier today during the luncheon at Statuary Hall after the presidential inauguration. Updates as that news becomes available. Right now, we're watching the start of the inaugural parade, scheduled to begin, well, quite some time ago. It just got underway. More than 90 groups started their march down Pennsylvania Avenue. School marching bands, Native American groups, cadets from the Virginia Military Institute, even a group of synchronized lawnmowers. And NPR's Scott Horsley is at the head of the parade in front of the presidential limousine on a flatbed truck. Scott, are you with us?
I am, Neil, and we are moving at a very stately pace along the avenue here. There are Secret Service agents walking alongside the presidential limousine and having no trouble on foot keeping pace with the limousine as it makes its way from the Capitol to the White House, and there President Obama will step out and into a reviewing stand to watch as you say, the 90-some groups make their way along the parade route.
And how is the motorcade being received by those lining both sides of the street?
These folks are very excited to see it. You can hear some of them cheering in the background. They're in some cases chanting Obama. They've been waiting a long time in the cold, and they are stacked 3 and 4 deep here at the very start of the parade route. I think they'll be even deeper as we get further along. But they are warmed, I think, by the presence now of President Obama. They've been waiting since early this morning in some cases to see this. And it's a chilly day here in Washington, although the sky is clear. The sun isn't providing a whole lot of warmth. And the best warming trend they've seen is to see the parade actually come their way.
Have you been able to spot NPR's Linda Wertheimer yet on the steps of the Canadian Embassy?
No, but we're making our way in that direction, and I'll certainly keep my eyes peeled.
Well, give her a wave as you go by, will you, Scott?
And I'm hoping she'll send me some of that Canadian whiskey.
Or maybe some beaver tail soup. Hold the whiskey till later, Scott. Linda Wertheimer, what are you able to see on the steps of the Canadian Embassy?
We can see now that the military units have started to move. We can see the old guard, you know, the folks, the military marching unit that marches in white crossed straps and red coats and tri-corner hats.
His barracks are up there on Capitol Hill.
Exactly. And one of the biggest military bands I have ever seen has just passed, although they didn't play anything while they passed. And we're looking at Navy units going by. There are also, of course, military people all along the parade route, along with police, standing at parade rest as the parade passes them. And we're looking back. I'm looking for that flatbed truck and the beast to follow it.
All right. Well, give a wave to Scott Horsley as he goes on by.
I can't wait.
Michelle?
Can I ask Linda a question?
Go ahead.
Linda, I was noticing that it doesn't seem that crowded where you are. People are 3 and 4 deep, but I've seen larger crowds for the Macy's parade. And I wonder whether, given the excitement, given how many people were on the mall, and given how early people were coming out, and I'm wondering why that is. Well, at some point, did for security reasons, did the authorities close off access to the parade route?
Well, it's not entirely easy to get from the mall to the parade route. There are two different sets of security that you have to go through. So I think that some people may have just felt discouraged about moving over here. I remember at the last inauguration, when it was at least this cold, the weather seemed raw and terrible. A good many people who were on the mall just completely balked at the idea of going through security one more time to take a place on the outside. So I think that what we're looking at here is mostly people who never got onto the mall, because it is fairly difficult. You can't just walk out between the National Gallery and its West Wing and get here. But what we are also seeing is every sort of wonderful balconies we're looking at balconies at the Federal Trade Commission, at the National Gallery. We're looking at all kinds of things that are happening where people are coming outside. We can see people gathered in windows and people on the roofs of some of the buildings gathered around here looking at the parade. So from where I sit, I can see quite a large crowd of people in front of the National Gallery, in front of the Federal Trade, in front of this building. I think that as you go farther along, you may find more of the people who've been able to make their way from the Lincoln Memorial area.
And it seems to be enough room for some of the people to sort of spill down the avenue following the action as they go along, as if they were following a golfer around the links.
But I am struck, though, by the heavy security presence. This is certainly something that was expected. The authorities made it very clear, city officials made it very clear that there would be a heavy presence. They were very strict about allowing strollers, backpacks, and things of that sort on the mall. But that's very different from just a short time ago, Neil. And I do wonder at what point it becomes impossible to have these kinds of large public events, that the security becomes so strict that it becomes less than enjoyable. It's changed in a very short time, and we all know why. We all know because of 9/11. But to see so many people in uniform, at one point there were more people in uniform than there were parade goers there out on the mall, clearly getting themselves into position. It's an unfortunate reminder of the times we live in.
And Linda, we were talking earlier this hour about the many times that the nature of this city has changed during anti-war demonstrations, during the Million Man Marches, Michelle mentioned earlier. And you were there in 1968.
I was. When Martin Luther King spoke at the Lincoln Memorial, it was like an upside-down version of this, because that was where all the crowd began. But very much like this, of course, in those days, no security on the mall at any point. But in those days, we had this extraordinary pouring of people onto the mall, and it lasted through the entire day. People were arriving on trains and buses just as they are now, and they were coming onto the mall. And the thing that I remember about it was that the crowd was the largest group of people that I have ever seen in my life until this day. And they were from the Lincoln Memorial down to the Washington Monument, past the monument, out into the avenues, all the way over to the riverbank on the Potomac side. But it was still a crowd that you could walk through. It had some of the same kind of atmosphere of today, that it was a day that a lot of people were extraordinarily happy to be there and felt pleased and privileged to see what they had seen and to hear what they heard. And as we walked through the crowd, I went from one end of the mall to the other during the course of the afternoon. There were, I saw people I knew of the oddest sort of thing. In a huge crowd like that, to run into people that you know who came in from other towns. It was a remarkable day. And, of course, they wildly underestimated the size of the crowd because of, for reasons which I think had a lot to do with politics. But it was huge. It was almost as huge as this. But this is the biggest crowd, it seems to me, this must be the biggest crowd that has ever gathered on this mall.
And we don't have an official crowd estimate yet, but Linda, I suspect you're right. In any case, thank you so much, and we'll, of course, be awaiting your reports later in the day.
Thank you.
NPR's Linda Wertheimer with us from the steps of the Canadian Embassy along the parade route of the inaugural parade. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And this is Kavita, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, in New York.
Yes, thank you.
Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm, as I was telling the person before, I'm originally from Kenya, and I feel so proud to, you know, today, because President Obama has finally been sworn in and has a connection with my country. I'm at Columbia, his alma mater, and had a chance to watch with students and faculty, and it was just fabulous to watch him standing up there in this huge sea of humanity in front of him, and it was just awe-inspiring.
How many people were there as you were watching?
Well, we were in an auditorium where I normally teach about, that can hold, I think, about 200 people, but we had a security guard sort of throw people out because there were, you know, fire marshals came and said there were too many people.
Well, yes, unfortunately, those rules have to be obeyed even at times like this.
Yeah, and I just want to say, you know, I know a lot of your callers have called in and said that they're Americans by choice, and I have been not an American by choice, but today I feel that I would love to be an American, and because Barack Obama is now president, I feel like I can be included and put down roots in this country.
Kavita, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And good luck to you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Let's go now to, this is Christine. Christine with us from Georgetown in South Carolina.
Hey, Neil.
Hi, Christine.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you all so much. I was in my car almost all day, and so I experienced everything through NPR, and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, it's our pleasure.
Yeah, and as I was traveling, I told the person earlier, while Obama was taking the oath of office, and then also while I listened to his speech, I was traveling through fields that 150 years ago were being farmed by slaves, and wow, I'm getting emotional again. It was very emotional. It was kind of overwhelming, actually. And this morning it was snowing, which is pretty unusual here. And I just looked out across these fields and watched the snow fall and listened to a whole new part of our country's history begin. And it was amazing. It was an amazing, amazing day.
As Juan Williams reminded us earlier today, the mall where so many people were gathered to hear the president speak, well, that was once a slave market here in Washington, D.C., and the president's going to be moving into a house that was built by slaves.
Well, we come full circle, don't we?
it's been a long and painful and difficult circle, but indeed we did get there. Christine,
yes.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Neil. Thanks to all of you.
We have an update for you. A spokesman for the Washington Hospital Center says that Ted Kennedy is being treated there. He is awake and answering questions. And he was taken out of the Capitol on a stretcher after apparently suffering convulsions. The hospital is not releasing details about Senator Kennedy's condition, but says he is awake and is with family members. Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia also left the lunch. His office said the senator was not taken ill. Well, good news then about Robert Byrd of West Virginia. And again, we will bring you further information about the senator, about the condition of Senator Kennedy as that becomes available to us. And let's see if we can go to another caller. Let's go to Gigi. Gigi with us from San Antonio.
Hi, Neil. It's my birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And it was one of the best birthdays I ever had. I really enjoyed it. I was born on the day that John Kennedy was inaugurated, so you can do the math. But I spent it at a champagne brunch with some friends who are three female retired military officers. And the mood was, we were very happy and hopeful, but it was also very sober. I think we all realized how much work there is to do and that the president can't do it all by himself. And they called a friend that they had known in Germany, spoke to her, and told her that they were happy that our crowd on the mall equaled their crowd in Berlin when Obama went there. So very happy day and one of the best birthdays I've spent.
Well, Gigi, again, happy birthday. Thanks for spending part of it with us.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Now let's go now to NPR's Andrea Seabrook at Freedom Plaza along the parade route. Andrea?
Hi. We're starting to see the parade is inching towards us. Actually, the formation of police escorts on their motorcycles has passed us already, as well as two big Suburbans who knows what. Yes?
Andrea, let me interrupt you because we're going to go back further up the parade route to Linda Wertheimer.
Hi. Well, the president is just passing the National Gallery's new wing, and I can see the Secret Service agents walking along beside that enormous new car that they have built for him. You can hear the crowd reacting to the fact that he is right in front of us now.
He is expected to get out and walk somewhere along the route, as almost every president has.
I expect that he will, and I'm not sure it's going to be here because that's going to slow everything down quite a bit. But we're watching, and everyone here, of course, is hoping very much that this will be the moment when he decides to get out of the car and speak to a few people along the parade route. But we're looking at a very, very long motorcade. I can see the flatbed truck with the press and the camera crews on it passing us now.
And I can see we're watching television pictures here in the studio, and President Obama is on your side of the limousine.
Yes, he is. And he is... The car is just pulling past the embassy now, and they're moving at a very,
I think they'd have to move at a pace that would be consistent with the marchers, yes.
That's right. They're moving very slowly with the Secret Service walking past them. So we're going to be, and we should be able to see him in just a second. Yes, there he is. And the crowd is shrieking, as you can hear.
Well,
Secret Service running ahead of him and then falling back. There does not appear to be that this is going to be the moment where he gets out, although the car is it's coming to a stop. And everybody here is very hopeful that that's what that means, that he may be getting out here. No, I'm not sure that that's going to happen.
Well, we're seeing the pictures from the flatbed truck on which Scott Horsley is perched as well, and they seem to be moving ahead as well, and the limousine is moving ahead, of course, with the license plate USA1 beneath the Cadillac logo. Linda, we'll get further updates from you later.
Okay, thanks very much.
NPR's Linda Wertheimer, and we'd also like to thank Andrea Seabrook, who's at Freedom Plaza. Andrea, we'll be in touch with you as the parade reaches your location throughout the day.
Fabulous. I'm here. Send the beaver tail soup.
Okay. Earlier today, President Obama delivered his inaugural address to an audience of several hundred thousand, at least, on the National Mall here in Washington, D.C., and to, of course, many millions watching and listening across the United States and around the world. He said that it was, quote, time to set aside childish things.
In reaffirming the greatness of our nation, we understand that greatness is never a given. It must be earned. Our journey has never been one of shortcuts or settling for less. It has not been the path for the faint-hearted, for those who prefer leisure over work or seek only the pleasures of riches and fame. Rather, it has been the risk-takers, the doers, the makers of things, some celebrated, but more often men and women obscure in their labor, who have carried us up the long, rugged path towards prosperity and freedom. For us, they packed up their few worldly possessions and traveled across oceans in search of a new life. For us, they toiled in sweatshops and settled the West, endured the lash of the whip, and plowed the hard earth. For us, they fought and died in places like Concord and Gettysburg, Normandy and Quezon. Time and again, these men and women struggled and sacrificed and worked till their hands were raw so that we might live a better life. They saw America as bigger than the sum of our individual ambitions, greater than all the differences of birth or wealth or faction. This is the journey we continue today.
A new president has taken the oath of office. The inaugural parade proceeds down Pennsylvania Avenue. He has yet to arrive at the reviewing stand. And, of course, following that, he'll have dinner, the inaugural balls to follow. It's going to be a long and amazing day for the 44th president of the United States. Thank you so much for listening. With NPR's Michelle Martin, I'm Neil Conan. This is special coverage from NPR News.